This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. It's estimated that many businesses that we know and love will fail during the pandemic. Of course, we worry about the neighborhood bars, your hair salon, the small manufacturers. But there's a lot that gives our life in Michigan texture that's not really about durable goods and services, but about stories and information. This week, the Detroit Metro Times publishes a special issue, dozens of writers offering messages of hope for the pandemic. Many of these writers you've met on this show over time, Jessica Kerr Moore, Nandi Comer, Michael Zadorian, and others. The Metro Times is offering this up, despite the fact that its own days may be numbered. Lee DeVito is editor-in-chief of the Detroit Metro Times, and Drew Philp is the writer and journalist who's guest editing this week's issue. Gentlemen, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So let's start out with the situation that the company finds itself in, Lee. You were recently told by the paper's parent company that you needed to lay off the entire staff except for you and one reporter. I understand you're foregoing your own salary right now.
I did, yeah. I'm happy that I think I'm going to be able to start getting paid again with the federal payroll protection program. But yeah, for March and April, I decided to forego my pay so I could keep two other members and have a staff of three, mostly because I had no idea how to do the paper without it. You know, we're continuing to press forward regardless.
There are an awful lot of alt weeklies around the country right now that just saw their ad revenues completely bottom out as live events and other chestnuts of their advertising just went by the wayside because of physical distancing. Is that pretty much what's been happening at the Metro Times?
Yeah. You know, since like 1980, when the paper first came out, the bread and butter of the advertising has been concerts, things to do, restaurants, bars. And that all immediately dried up when the pandemic hit. Honestly, right now, the majority of our ads is the marijuana dispensaries because those were deemed an essential business. But yeah, it was a huge blow to our revenue. So we are putting out a smaller version of the book, but we've still been putting it out every week.
What's it been like to try to keep operating under those circumstances?
Weird. We've all been working from home. So remotely, a lot of Zoom meetings, as I'm sure workplaces across the country and world are doing. But yeah, it's been odd to not be able to go out in the community as much, you know, or at least, you know, doing reporting from such a far distance.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to do a special issue?
That was Drew. Drew, you know, I've been, you know, just kind of frantically trying to continue to put the paper out. And Drew kept bugging me. And finally, I was like, okay, what is it, Drew? What is it? And I was actually really impressed by his idea. So yeah, take it away, Drew.
Yeah, so I saw Lee working without a salary, and I knew things were pretty bad. You know, I've worked with the Metro Times as a journalist for years. I think I've been in Detroit for 13 years or something like that now. And I've read the Metro Times that whole time. I've published things in there, and it's a really important news outlet for Detroit, both for our arts community and for the city itself. I mean, one thing that people forget is that democracy is impossible without news and local news, because you need an educated, kind of up-to-date populace to make decisions about their own government. And the same is kind of true about, you know, like art scene, you know, like these are like kind of the foundation building blocks of our culture. And without papers like the Metro Times, you know, how do you get the word out about, you know, shows and events, and how do you bring some of these writers and artists to larger audiences? How do you have young journalists kind of practice their craft without places like the Metro Times? So, you know, I was looking for something to do to help out in the middle of this pandemic. I could do it from home, and you know, like, it's just a small part of that. I want to stress that, you know, there are 24 artists and writers and poets from Detroit who have participated in this issue. And it's like fire, man. I mean, these are some of our best communicators in many different mediums in kind of Southeast Michigan. And it's really a record of what people are thinking and feeling during this just kind of wild portion of American history. So, you know, I think what all these artists have done is really important. And, you know, the other thing I want to stress too is they're all participating for free.
Yeah.
Everyone donated their time to give the, you know, like the Metro Times this, and the theme was hope. So there, people were really giving their best selves, I think. We have some really beautiful pieces, you know, trying not to just keep the Metro Times going, but...
Talking about the community.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
It's kind of crazy. I mean, Drew, I know you've written for publications, you know, of every size. And we've seen, I mean, I don't want to, I'll stop short of saying a resurgence of like newspaper subscriptions, but some people are, you know, agreeing right now, democracy dies in darkness, as one paper likes to put it. And yet, you know, a paper that, say, covers the Detroit hip hop and house scene, or, you know, that pays attention to local film events has not been able to keep pace.
You know, let me put it like this. So, you know, I've written for The Guardian, which is one of the largest newspapers on the planet. I wrote a book for Scribner, which is, you know, the publisher of Hemingway and one of the most respected publishers on the planet. I couldn't have done it without papers like the Metro Times. That's like where I and many other people have cut their teeth. I still, you know, like still will do things for the Metro Times like this, but it's not possible. You can't just go from, you know, writing for a college newspaper to The Guardian. I mean, some people can, but it's unlikely.
Yeah.
You know, local organizations are very important to writers as well. You have to have these kind of like, you know, AAA teams to be able to make it to the big league. So if they go away, it's you know, it leaves just an indecent hole in our news ecosystem.
And the engineering school, if you like, that gets you the car you'll eventually want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Drew, how did you choose the lineup of writers that are featured?
A lot of them were people I know from just being in the community. There were a handful of people that I had respected their work and known their work and kind of contacted them with, you know, my hat in my hands asking for this thing. And basically, you know, the community just really showed out in an incredible way. So a lot of times, like, I mean, Detroit's like, they call it what, the biggest small town in America. So a lot of us know each other. So basically, it was basically that. A lot of the participants are also winners of the Kresge Arts in Detroit Fellowship.
Right.
I think there were 17 of those. So I was able to contact some people that I didn't know personally that way as well.
What kinds of messages are people bringing? I mean, Lee, do you want to give us a sense of, you know, the kinds of ways people chose to talk about hope right now?
Yeah, it's kind of all over the place, which I love about it. You know, there's really small personal stories. Some, you know, where the pandemic is kind of just a background force. It's not even really at the forefront. Some stuff, you know, you don't even, you know, not explicitly about the pandemic at all. But, you know, the overall package is extremely Detroit, and it is extremely right now. And I was blown away at how quickly it came together also, which I think kind of factors in with the kind of pandemic factoring into it. Even if it's not explicit, I feel like you can still feel it. And just by virtue of it being made, you know, right now.
I have a question I'd like to ask both of you. And Lee, I think I'll ask you to answer first. Just what it means when we, you know, when we see these artists finding a way through this and finding a way to talk about the hope and community that we find in each other, what does that say about Detroit and its creative community?
I think that Detroit is its creative community. You know, like I think, you know, the arts and culture are the soul of the city. And I mean, that's why I started reading Metro Times in the first place when I was a teenager, for the art and culture coverage and Savage Love. But that was my window to Detroit. You know, it was my way of understanding Detroit. I grew up in the suburbs and in Farmington Hills. And, you know, that's what I love about it. That's what I love about the scene here, is the art scene is so connected to each other and to the city.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Lee DeVito, editor-in-chief of the Detroit Metro Times, and Drew Philp, who's guest editing a special issue this week. Drew, what do you see reflected back of Detroit in these essays?
I mean, I think Detroit's art scene is one of the best kept secrets in the world. You know, the talent in this issue is truly world class. I mean, I'm not blowing smoke when I say that some of these folks are ridiculously good writers and artists. So, you know, I think Detroit has been practicing for hope for a long time. I mean, Detroit's gone through a lot of terrible stuff and had a lot of terrible stuff done to it. And the art scene has survived through all that. And that's due to many factors. One, just the kind of quality of people we have in Detroit, but also because of some of these big organizations like the Detroit Institute of Arts have been really steady through everything and allowed this art scene to kind of flourish while things have been cheap and in many cases desperate. So I think Detroit has a lot to say to the rest of the country about what's going on, because we've had to look for the hope in this kind of grimness for so long. One of the things I like to say is that, you know, more and more and more often, the rest of America is looking like Detroit. And I think that if they're smart, they're going to look to many people here to see ways out of this. And I think that's really showcased in this issue so wonderfully.
Lee, I just wanted to say that I've been impressed. You know, I knew a little bit of what was going on behind the scenes, and I've been impressed that there's been this stream of stuff that I'm interested in and stuff that either amuses me or kind of makes me, you know, wrinkle my eyebrows a little bit all through all this. How do you decide what you can do at a time when you're in the middle of a four-alarm fire? What kind of stories you're going to cover when there's almost no one left to cover it?
Yeah. It's been a shift for sure. I mean, like a lot, like at first, I mean, that first week of March, it was just, okay, this thing's canceled, this thing's closed, this thing's closed, this thing's closed. And much of what we were doing was just kind of reacting to that. But, you know, like, I don't know, man, it's just been what we've been doing for, you know, the past, the team here has been doing for the past few years. Part of it is like, what else are we going to do right now, you know, except just stick to what we've been, you know how to do.
What we do best.
Yeah. It's kind of all I know how to do right now.
Drew, what would you say, are there kinds of stories that you've seen in terms of news coverage that you think just might not be handled anywhere else or might not be handled with the reality check that alternative papers can sometimes provide?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, when I first really kind of the Metro Times kind of came into my consciousness and I really understood it, they were working on a very long series. I think it was called Detroit's Big Burn, about Detroit's trash incinerator that was basically poisoning everyone on the east side in the neighborhood where I live in. They worked on that for years when very few other people were. It was very important. And that trash incinerator was just shut down last year, in part, in my belief, to the reporting of the Metro Times. So I think that stuff is going on all the time. You know, there's Detroit City Council president has just been very credibly accused in national news of, you know, what amounts to campaign violations, you know, taking bribes. I've seen very little coverage in the local news of that. You know, and papers like the Metro Times jump on that stuff. Issues with the Flint water crisis and the statute of limitations running out for that. Papers like the Metro Times do stuff like that that other people just aren't covering. That's absolutely essential, you know, to our very democracy. So I think that's a huge part of why we have to keep these papers around, you know, papers like the Free Press and the News, of course, and NPR as well. Like it's all part of the same ecosystem. And I don't know if there's a ton of competition there. I don't think there should be. But it's absolutely essential that we have this diversity of perspectives. And people are looking out kind of for the spots that others are missing. And I think the Metro Times has been, perhaps the word is notorious for that, but it's been really, really important. It's been absolutely important.
Yeah, and Drew came onto my radar when he did a profile on the celebrity attorney Jumana Kairouz,
whose billboards are ubiquitous all over the metro area.
Yeah, and everyone knows his billboards, and nobody really knew the story behind her. And he did this great kind of, you know, profile on her, and that's the kind of, you know, thing that I love to see in Metro Times.
And so many, even in towns that still have a daily paper of record, you know, those kinds of stories really have gone by the wayside as they've had financial challenges of their own.
Right.
Lee, I know things are pretty hand to mouth right now, but how close to the edge is it? How long do you think the paper can keep on publishing?
You know, there's a lot of X factors there. You know, like I said, we got some help from the small business grant from the government, which is good. But, you know, I mean, the thing with Metro Times and all alt weeklies, all publications, things have been tough for years. You know, like advertising has been drying up for years, going to the internet. Classifieds used to be such a source of revenue. Our own events, we've shifted to a model in recent years where Metro Times puts on, you know, tasting events and other kinds of things. And now we can't even do those. So, you know, like I said, I think we're fortunate because Metro Times has also long been a place for the marijuana industry to advertise. You know, we long championed that, you know, before the kind of rest of the mainstream caught on. So fortunate that we have those. But yeah, you know, I mean, I personally just can't even really wrap my mind around a world that doesn't have concerts and festivals anytime soon. You know, it's possible we might, as other publications have done, including some of our sister papers in other cities like Cleveland, might shift to every other week. You know, mm-hmm. we might shift to online only for a while, but we are committed and determined to hang in there. You know, Metro Times turns 40 in October, and that's kind of my goal. I got to get us to 40.
I know that there's work of varying lengths in this special issue that's coming out this week, but is there anything, I don't know, Drew, that you might be able to read to us that you're particularly proud of in this issue?
Absolutely. I can't say that I'm particularly proud of any one of these pieces because it's all such a wonderful collage, but this is our shortest poem, and it's just absolutely lovely by a great Detroit poet named Billy Mark. It's called Heal. In the shadow of human quiet, as the unforeseeable future opens like the wing of a lung, a balm as wide as the earth stretches into unaddressed places.
That's devastating.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, our work is the work this week is just all of this quality. And I really encourage you to check it on the internet or pick it up in newsstands.
I suppose we should also say this is an opportunity to find Detroit artists who we can all support at this time too.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, part of the thing is too, like the generosity that came out of this community is a lot of these people's incomes have really taken a hit because of this, myself included. So people are not only struggling themselves, they're really digging deep to give generously, and it's a beautiful gift they've given to our community.
Lee DeVito is editor-in-chief of the Detroit Metro Times. We've also been talking with Drew Philp, who's guest editing this week's special issue, Stories of Hope, as everyone tries to get through what's happening on every level right now. Guys, thank you so much for talking with us. And I've been saying this so often, but good luck.
Thank you. You too.
That's Stateside for today. Producers are Laura Weber-Davis, Mercedes Mejia, April Van Buren, and Mike Blank. They get help from our interns, Leah Baldori, Catherine Newhan, Nell Ovitt, and Olive Scott. Stateside is a production of Michigan Radio, a broadcasting service of the University of Michigan. I'm April Baer. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.